What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. And joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome students from Crossroad Academy, and we have the assistant principal for secondary, Ms. Camry Floyd. Students joining me are Cheyenne Sanders. She's in the 10th grade, and she's into cheering and FBLA and the Beta Club.
Hi, good afternoon.
Alaysha Howard. Crossword Academy. Singing, reading, and writing are her thing.
Nice to meet you.
Glad to have you here. And Jahia Haywood, 11th grade. Her interests are church, makeup, and writing.
Hi, glad to be here.
Adolescence can be a particularly difficult period. There are a lot of pressures on teens today, with many challenges and decisions to be made. Coping with one's emotional highs and lows are stressful. And learning to cope with one's feeling is an important skill that must be accomplished to make life successful. We all experience stress, adults, teens, even young kids. Stress is the feeling created when we react to a particular event. Stress also prepares us to meet the challenge. It keeps us on our toes. There are many stressors that come from school and being a student. Students struggle with academic demands, scheduling issues, social issues, dealing with the dynamics of young relationships, balancing work and school for some. And did you know that a surprisingly high percentage of college freshmen do not go on to graduate due to stress? So stress is a major. When I say stress, what comes to your mind? I'll start with you, Shai, and just move around.
When I think of stress, what comes to mind is something that isn't so helpful to your body. It harms your body in many ways.
Okay. Anything else? That's good. We'll come back.
When I think of stress, I think of an overbearing schedule, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff on your back at once, not being able to organize yourself or keep it organized.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about those pressures, that what I hear you saying, that's coming from all different directions, okay?
When I think of stress, I think of just so much on your shoulders, and it's just steadily building up and, like, causing you to panic on the inside.
Okay, so you're feeling it on the inside is what...
Yes, ma'am.
Let's look a little more in detail at stress. And you've given me some of them. What are the specific things in your life that you can think of that cause stress, that cause that reaction, that cause that panic feeling that Alaysha shared with us? And I'm looking at you, and then I'm going to come to Ms. Floyd and ask her, you know, what do you see from your perspective when kids are going through this changes?
I feel that, like, one of the main stress builders would be expectations.
Okay, and where are these expectations coming from?
It's like if you're in school, it's for you to graduate, what your parents want you to do mm-hmm. versus what you want to do, how you feel, like how your grades are in school. That's like mm-hmm. one of the biggest, like, stressors. That's mm-hmm. one of the biggest stressors. Because you're constantly worried about, is this going to get better? Is that going to get better? How am I going to do this, that, and the other? Like, it's always, one of the biggest things is always school.
Have you found that it increases as you anchor?
Yes. Because it's like, when you first get into high school, people expect, like, they always ask you, what do you want to be when you graduate and when you get older? And they expect you to just automatically know from just a few years from, like, earlier school. But some people, they're just not good at making decisions so early and just making a stable plan for themselves. Some people are not built and made for that.
And you really don't have to. Let me interject that, because lots of times you get people who go to college and how many times do they change their majors?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we all are very guilty of that. And I think, what are you going to do? Where are you going to get?
Mm-hmm.
And you really don't have to know at 10th grade, okay? All right. Jahiya, what kinds of things make you stressful? What kinds of situations? What are the things in your world on a daily basis, a regular basis that you encounter that you can identify make you feel angst and stressed about things?
Managing time and what the future holds.
Mm-hmm.
I say what the future holds is because, when you're in the 9th, 10th grade, adult life doesn't seem that real, but when you're in 11th grade and next year you're going to be an adult and out of the house, it's real. And you're stressed about, what if I go on my own and have to come back to home? Or what if I go to college and flunk out and don't make the grades I need to make to be where I need to be? And right now, managing time is a big deal for me because I'm dual enrolled and have to manage school at my regular school and extracurricular activities, relationship with your friends, family, and church and all of that. So you have to...
I'm so glad to hear you share that, because many times adults feel like they don't have any stress.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? You have no stress. So to hear you share that is really very valuable, especially to the people that are listening, because I don't think, that we've forgotten, and maybe we didn't have nearly as many stresses as you did. We really didn't, okay? Cheyenne, what about you?
I would have to say fitting in with everybody, trying to fit in with different types of crowds, mm-hmm. trying to mold yourself to fit in with other people. If I hang out with somebody, I would want them to accept me as me. I don't expect myself to change mm-hmm. for anybody. So that's the number one stress that I have.
So getting them really to accept you for you.
Yes.
Now, Ms. Floyd, being the assistant... secondary principal, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you see? From your perspective, when you're dealing with these young folk, what kinds of situations are they encountering?
Well, first of all, like you said, they have a lot more stress than even the class that graduated the year before them had their testing requirements. There's a lot of rigor in the curriculum, and then they have their personal issues. And to be well-rounded, like Jahiya said, they have to be in all these extracurricular activities, and it's really a lot to ask someone at such a young age to plan their day out, let alone their life, mm-hmm. in such a detailed manner. I think that one of the biggest stresses that I see from them is the feeling of not being prepared for the next step, whatever that is. It could be, I don't feel like I'm ready to go from pre-algebra to algebra. I don't feel like I'm ready for it to go from being this boy's friend to his girlfriend. There's so many different, all the progression that takes place in adolescence is something that I see as being a big stressor for them.
And how do they handle it?
Well, they handle it in various ways. Mm-hmm. Some students lash out at other people because they feel unprepared or because they're nervous. Some people take it out on themselves. There are instances where students become depressed. There are instances where they have behavior issues in class. And some of them just plain give up, to be honest, Dr. Hollifield, and say, I don't like this anymore. I'm just not going to try. And I'll just do the bare minimum so that I can get by and get out. And when I get to the next step, maybe I'll feel more gusto to be enthused to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Do you, any of you, experience what we call the physiological reactions to stress? Now, we were talking about this before we went on the air. We were talking about how some people get headaches. Some people have problems sleeping. Mm-hmm. So other people sleep all the time. Ms. Floyd mentioned becoming depressed. So think about when you are in the throes of a very stressful situation, or you are continually dealing with a number of things on your plate. As they say, your plate is full, okay? How does your body react to it? How do you handle stress? What works for you? And I'm looking at you, Alicia. So I guess you're in the hot seat.
So some people, they have
But I want to know how you do.
I do it. Okay.
How do you react to stress?
I'm not as good with stress as I would like to be.
Well, we're not putting a judgment on whether it's good or bad. I'm just asking you, how do you handle it? okay? Because you may handle it fine.
It all depends on how stressful the situation really is, because, mm-hmm. like, certain parts of me see certain things different ways. So if it's like, if my grade getting kind of low in my algebra class, it's just like, well, maybe I could, it's like, well, I'm thinking about what my parent might say, how the teacher mm-hmm. might act, mm-hmm. how, like, mm-hmm. things I want to sign up for, how they have certain, like, grades that they want you to meet. It's like that. That would
so
be
what do
like
you
a,
do? I mean, how do you handle? How do you react to this?
I mean, seeing that, like...
Do you cry? Do you get upset? Do you get angry? Do you get mad?
Well, like I said, it's like it depends on how stressful it is.
Then share some of the ways that you handle it.
Well, I'm actually kind of prone to panic attacks when I get stressed. Okay. So it's just all on how stressful the situation is to me.
So what's something that's stressful to you, like that would make you have a panic attack versus something that would just make you cry?
Okay. Something that would make me have a panic attack would be I'm finding out, like, something devastating, or maybe I just feel like too much is going on in my life at once. Like, a lot of people say that teenagers don't have that many issues because we're younger, but, like, it's...
You fail a test. How do you react?
Ooh. I don't want to say it depends on how big the test was, but either way, I'm going to react kind of like, what did I do wrong with this? What did I do wrong with that? How can I do it next time? How can I avoid this, that, and the other next time?
Share with us what you experience.
When I'm stressed, well, I do have problems sleeping at night, so if I have mm-hmm. a lot going on and I know I need to get a lot done, mm-hmm. I'll be up late at night trying to get it done, and then the next day I'll pay for it. Like today I'm paying for it.
You're really tired.
So
deprived.
If I know I have a lot of stuff to do, instead of me... Like, during the day, I'm like, God, there's a lot of stuff to do.
And you
then
just feel kind of
at
driven.
Night, it just hits me, boom, uh-huh. do all of it right now.
Uh-huh. So, you feel driven. So you can't sleep, and you're up, and you're busy, and you're trying to attack things. Okay? Anything else? Do you have stomach problems? I mean, some people, you know, they get cramps, they get tight, they get headaches.
Okay. Yeah, I get a headache every now and then. I get aggravated, irritated. I don't want to be around people.
That's exactly what we were talking about. Because these are reactions, the way that we handle the stress that we are experiencing. Okay? If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I'm talking with students from Crossroad Academy about how they handle stress. Stress is something that we all have to encounter. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. Crossroad Academy students, join 411 Teen this hour to talk about stress and pressure and how we handle anxiety and dealing with emotions. Joining me, I welcome again Assistant Principal for Secondary, Ms. Camry Floyd, and three students, Jahia Hayward, Alaysha Howard, and Cheyenne Sanders. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield. Stress can be positive or negative. It's that positive stress which allows us to meet a challenge and to satisfy a need. It helps us sometimes to just manage things. However, there's distress. And distress, however, is negative. And it's when things start to disrupt our lives, causing depression and poor health. I didn't get to talk with you, but Cheyenne, will you please share the kinds of things that engender, you know, a physiological response when you are stressed out, so to speak?
When I'm really stressed out, the middle of my stomach really starts to hurt, and
exactly.
I get a lot of pain in that area, and then I know I really need to calm down. And in order for me to calm down, I light many candles that smells like mints and other type of natural fresh herbs, and I listen to ocean waves, and I just relax.
And how did you get into that? How did you find out that this helps you? And the other question is, What do you do when you aren't in a situation and you don't have those candles? What if you're at school? How do you handle it? Because, you know, you can help someone. You can give someone clues and ideas that may be going through the same thing that you're going through. So that's why I'm asking you.
Well, to start off, Miss Floyd actually got me into listening to ocean waves and meditating to calm myself down. And if I'm at school and I'm stressed out or I don't feel like dealing with a situation, I always keep a notebook on hand and I write several things in it. I write pages. And then after I write pages, it feels like so much has been lifted off me because I put it out there, but nobody else knows.
That's a great technique, you know, because you are. You're putting it out there. You're writing about it. And nobody, you don't have to worry. Nobody else has to know anything about it, but you have gotten it out. Because you were saying, for you, it's real important to be able to fit in. Yes. And I wanted to ask you to elaborate, why is fitting in so important?
Because when I first came out to Crossroad, I was a new kid and I really wanted to fit in. So I felt like I had to mold myself in order to fit in order to fit in with the cheer crowd, in order to fit in with the popular people, as people would say.
That's very normal. I mean, everybody wants to be in the in crowd and be a part of. So it's right. Normal to feel that way. So how did you handle that? What did you do? Because I'm sure by now you've realized that fitting in is not, you don't have to fit in. I heard you say that.
I did realize that several months later. Not everybody. Okay, well, if you change yourself to people, they're just going to keep manipulating you until they form you the way they want you to be. Mm-hmm. I realized that there's no need for me to form myself a certain way. Why can't you just accept me as who I am? And if you don't, oh, well.
Okay. you need to can that yourself. Because, I'm very serious. That is an issue that many young folks have. And so they find themselves, you know, leaning this way or leaning that way or doing things that they really would not do, but they think, I'll do this because, you know, the in crowd will look at me and think that, oh, that's cool, and so they'll like me. So I applaud you, you know, that you are tuned into you and it's not that important to fit in. Jahia, how the stress and you impact your daily lives? For example, what kind of changes does it put you through on just a daily basis? Because we have stress. I mean, stress from finding a parking space. I mean, that's
right.
Stress.
Right.
Finding a parking space and trying to get where you're going on time.
Right.
Not having time to do what I want to do anymore. Because when you have homework and then you want to go to the mall, you have to weigh your options. Well, if I don't do this paper this time, you know, I'm going to flunk the class. And if I go to the mall instead, you know, and that just comes along with being responsible. So,
So you're talking about really weighing your options or evaluating your options and looking at the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you could go to the mall. You could go to the mall. No one is stopping you. But it sounds like you have weighed the consequences, weighed the options, and put a value judgment on, well, I think my homework is much more important than going to the mall. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
Okay. Yes, ma'am, Alicia.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. So, for me, it's just like when I'm stressed, I begin to get even more stressed about the fact that I'm stressed because you're just trying to find that way to get it off your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And if you can't find that way, like when you need it and you know you need it, it just builds up on you.
What do you do to get it off of your shoulders? What kinds of activities do you? Some people, for example, may eat, okay? Some people may lose their appetite. Some people who are smokers. Mm-hmm. If they become stressed, they smoke more and more and more and more and more. I mean, because that it's a stressful period, and so they find themselves smoking. What do you do?
I usually just read.
Like, I love reading and writing, okay. So I usually just read. It's like I'm going to, like, a whole nother world, a whole nother zone. I love to write, but I can't write about what's stressing me out because it's just going to have me thinking about it. Just, like, how can I put this into words? How can I put this into, like, if somebody else read it, how can they understand my situation and not feel that I'm overreacting? So it's just finding your own way to do things, and I find it by reading.
Okay, so you will read. Anything else?
Well, I usually just, like, walk around. I enjoy nature. So it's just, like, just let Mother Nature do its thing and just find ways to come to me and help me out.
Do any of you maybe utilize friends or significant others in your life that you might even talk to about? You might have Miss Floyd, whomever. Because that's a way of coping with stress, of coping with, you know, problems, issues, emotions.
But you can't, I understand what you're saying, but you can't tell everybody just anything.
I didn't say that. So I said, like, do you have anyone? Do you utilize anyone? I mean, I don't expect you to tell everybody everything.
Right.
Okay. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, some people, like Cheyenne, me and Cheyenne, she's like a sister to me, but it's just certain things you just can't tell certain people. No offense. But it's just, sometimes you feel like, you may feel that the person may think you're overreacting, and you don't want those people feeling like, oh, maybe she
wants to be judged.
You don't want people thinking, oh, she's just the crybaby, or she's doing the most. And you just can't tell certain people certain things. Like, I'll tell Miss Floyd or my teacher, Miss Cole, a lot of things, but it's just certain things I'm not willing to tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I mean, that's fine. In any of your classes, have you dealt with stress as far as how to handle stress? What do you do with stress? I'm just wondering, do you feel like you have received, you know, any type of formal instruction? Because stress, we have come to recognize, is a very important part of life that we all have. And the key to it, it's not about trying to avoid it because you can't. You're always going to have stress. The key is how you handle it, okay? And that makes the difference between that individual who is successful and that one who is not successful, because they have found ways to handle it. I'll go to Ms. Floyd. Are there mechanisms, are there vehicles, are there classes that address stress with the students?
Well, you know, it's so interesting that you should ask that and that Cheyenne should mention when I taught them or introduced them to meditation. Because there are courses and components of courses that teach you, for example, how to manage your time or how to organize yourself. But that's not directly necessarily a way to, well, for some people it may be. But for a lot of people, that doesn't directly have an impact on the stress that they feel. And I was in a situation last year where I was forgetting everything. And I went to the doctor and I talked to a few people and somebody told me that meditation helps you to focus. And once I started meditating every day for about 20 minutes, it changed everything. So I decided to introduce that as a component of my science class. I talked to them about the brain and how neurons work and the nervous system, and then I use that as a segue into meditation, and I'm just so thrilled to know that somebody got a use out of that. Yeah. So I guess to answer your question, at our school, we focus more on task-oriented methods of dealing with stressful things, but I think that there is definitely some value in some more personally catered mechanisms of dealing with stress, like meditation.
When you think about your family and family members, how do folks in your family deal with stress? Because often we learn how to deal with stress from those around us, okay? So how do they deal with stress? When your mom is stressed out, your father or your grandmother, whomever it is that you live with, how do they deal with pressure?
Well, I live with my mom majority of my life. And what she does, she'll talk about certain things. I guess things that she finds appropriate that she knows I will understand. She'll talk about it, but you can't really see it on her face that she's stressed. And I do the same way. Like, I'll talk about certain things, but I'm not going to show exactly how I feel, like, physically.
So you maintain your composure where on the inside you're going haywire.
Yes, but sometimes it's...
sometimes it's just certain things you can't keep in, and it just
explodes
out and gets crazy.
But, you know, maybe there may be something you can do to avoid that exploding, okay? Ooh, I'm just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, because before it gets to the, by the time it gets to the point that it's exploded, there may have been some steps you could have taken before you get to that point.
I realized that because last year was not like the best year for me. I was stressed about a lot of things. And it got to the point to where something snapped in me to where I just stopped caring about everything. Like, my grades got low, relationships with certain people just got all types of messed up. It's just certain people deal with things certain ways, and that just happened to be how it was for me last year.
Good. All right. Jahia, how about you? What, those around you, how do they handle stress?
I don't think they notice it as stress, so
they may not.
It affects them in their health. Like my grandmother, she has 1,000 different tasks every day. She doesn't notice it as stress, and she doesn't label it as stress, though. And as a result of that, she has a pacemaker. So if she keeps going over and over, it affects the heart. So
stress is a killer.
My family doesn't realize stress is stress. They just see it as an everyday task. They just keep going.
But what's the fallout from all these tasks that they keep? One
they
is their health.
Sick, yeah.
That right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their health pays the cost. That's a good, excellent example. Thank you.
My grandmother, I pay attention to her a lot more than my parents. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed when she's stressed, she tries to zone everybody else out and go on vacations by herself, but in the process of that, she ends up hurting herself because she tries to focus on not being stressed to the point where she stresses out about trying not to be stressed. Which is kind of like, you can't go on vacation for trying to get rid of stress if you're just going to hurt yourself with stress. But I do notice that she likes to turn off her phone if she is stressed and just sleep.
Mm. Okay. All right. And sometimes, what I hear you saying, sometimes we do need to withdraw. And sometimes we need to kind of get introspective and get into ourselves, you know, and think about what's going on and evaluate the situation. And what we see is them, you know, turning the phone off, but that might be a way of just saying, wait a minute,
distancing.
I got to stop for a minute. I need to just evaluate. Yeah, you know, what's going on around me, and I just don't need any outside input. Comments? You're nodding.
Yeah, I'm like that. I'm a very social person, and dealing, especially in this new position, dealing with the students all day and dealing with adults all day, and I have a whole lot more time for people to kind of come and share their issues and their stress with me. I found that I have to go home and sometimes turn my phone off or put it on Do Not Disturb so I can just have a moment to think about whatever it is I need to do. And what I want to accomplish, and so that I won't feel bogged down with the issues or the stresses of others.
Exactly. That's what you have to do. Now, looking at this stress, we haven't talked about emotions, but they all kind of go hand in hand. Okay. What makes you depressed? What makes you angry? How do you handle these kinds of emotions? And let's look at these now. Because again, as I mentioned earlier, the key is really how you handle them. You're always going to be stressed, okay? Said earlier, there's good stress and there's bad stress. There's bad stress when it gets your grandmother to a point where her physical being is being attacked, okay? But it's good stress that makes you go, I'm going to get it. I got to take this test tomorrow, and I'm going to get an A on that test. And it's that stress that's pushing you to prepare so that you can get the A on the test. That's a positive stress. And it all just has to do, again, with how we handle things. When you think about being depressed, now, that's something everybody can relate to. If you say you haven't been, then you're just lying. I mean, everybody has depression. You know, from time to time, it comes and goes. But you may have something that, you know, you have, might wake up one morning and just don't feel like, you know, maybe you needed some more sleep, like you were saying. But what kinds of situations, what things make you depressed? And when you become depressed, how do you handle that? How do you handle that particular emotion?
This year, I've got hit with a humongous depression wave. My grandmother passed back in February, and ever since then, I just thought, nothing matters in life. I miss her so much. Why should I continue going on? Everything I did was to impress her, to make her happy with me. To handle that, every week I try to go to her grave and just talk like she's sitting next to me while I sit next to her grave and just have a good old conversation like we're on the porch.
Okay. And that works well for you?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
And has there been anything else in addition to that that you do or you recognize that you do in handling your depression? Because how did that depression make you feel?
It made me feel like nobody else. I really didn't do anything for anybody else. It felt like she was the only person I really cared about in life, mm-hmm. and she only cared about me in life. So
it was a loss. It sounds like, you know, you lost something that was very valuable to you.
Yes.
And so you had to handle and deal with that loss.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And one of the ways that you deal with it is sort of like writing, talking, just going.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing, and just talking it out, and you're having a private conversation with you and her. And you find that that works.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Okay, that's great. If you are just tuning in, we're going to take a break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly conversation with teens about issues that impact their daily lives. We're going to take a break. People seek stress. They are what one may call adrenaline seekers. They have been exposed to high levels of stress, or they may be trying to satisfy some psychological need. You know, like the daredevils that do these amazing feats, and you think, my goodness, how can they do that? But, you know, that gets their adrenaline pumping, and that keeps them going, and that's how they handle their stress and their emotions. Jahia, I didn't get to you, but I wanted to ask you, how do you handle your emotions? What do? You're depressed or angry. That's another emotion that we all experience at some time. How do you feel, and what do?
I recently watched a video that made me realize that that's how I dealt with it. I think of the end result of life as like a finished cake. So I see all the other stuff that I go through as the ingredients. So if I deal with this the right way, and it comes all together as one, I'll get the finished product that I want. But if I handle my anger the wrong way, or if I don't do this the right way, then the cake is not going to be as good. So... Mm-hmm.
So what kind of things do you do in handling it? I mean, for example, when you're very angry, what role does maybe music play? Some people talk about music, and they utilize music. Or what role does religion play? Some people feel like, you know, if I just read my Bible or just seek solace or whatever. So that's what I mean. What do you use? Exercise. I know some people just will get really, really into exercise. Mm-hmm. Exercise is now a panacea for whatever ails you. You know, they tell you, you got a headache, go exercise. You know, and it helps. So that's what I'm asking you.
I really don't have.
I mean, do you? When I say music, I mean, for example, sometimes I've had people tell me, "Well, I'll turn on," you know, they may have a favorite artist, and I'll turn on and I'll listen to them, and that kind of, you know, how music sets the mood, and it can. I mean, if you put on the right mood, you can kind of that it permeates, right?
Yeah.
So. Does music play a role for any of you? Do you utilize music at all?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Gospel music.
Okay. All right, so you use gospel, and you find that that helps you to kind of focus and calm down. Okay. You said, oh, yes. What about you with music?
It's, well, I'm not really that big a fan of gospel. But it's
but
pretty
does
much,
that be gospel? We're it's, talking about music.
It's whatever pretty much any kind of music, whether it's slow, like, the artist could have been going through a breakup in that song. It would still, like, take me out of whatever I was feeling at mm-hmm. the moment. So it's pretty much whatever plays on my Pandora account, really.
Okay. Chyna, what about music for you?
I really don't listen to lyrical music. I mm-hmm. mostly listen to classical music that just calms the room. Because at my house, it's very loud and stressful. So I just close my door, light my candles, like I said, and play classical music.
And it works.
Yeah, she has her methods all figured out, it sounds like.
Yeah, so you were had a serious impact on that.
That's good. Okay. I like that.
And religion. Does religion play a role?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I was brought up in a very religious home, so it was kind of the only outlet I had growing up. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not to say I'm rebelling against it, but...
But you can see how... And it did serve.
Mm-hmm.
It worked, okay? And we touched on it, but what about exercise? Any of you... Well, you mentioned you took a walk.
Oh, yes. Every time I'm stressed, I feel like nature has like a... It just calms me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like every time I'm stressed, I just automatically feel like getting up and just walking, like no matter where I'm at, just walking, just taking off. It could be like 2:00 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I could be stressing. If you're texting me, I'm telling you, I'm about to take a walk. I'm just going.
Uh-huh.
It just has like, I know so I have to stay in the house sometimes, but other times it's just mm-hmm. like, if it's too much for me to handle myself, I just have to deal with it. But if I have the choice, I'm just going to start walking.
Okay.
That's good.
I really don't get that much out of exercising. Just, you know, some people say it helps them to release energy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that. It just stresses me out more. If I took a walk, it would be something similar to what Alaysha said. I'd want to walk around slowly and kind of just take in the beautiful things around me and try to move those through me by osmosis.
I mean, well, you know, we all often when mm-hmm. we say exercise, we think of some, you
something
know,
rigorous. Right.
But I just mean, you know, that walking is exercise.
That's so true. That's
if
true.
If you're just cruising, mm-hmm. you know, it works for you. Like I always tell folks, you know, you have when you're stressed out, you have to give the drummer some. And giving the drummer some, you're the drummer. And mm-hmm. it depends on what you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might just be standing in the shower and just having, you know, the shower just beat on you. Okay? Now, it's different strokes for different folks because it depends on what works. You know, for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's no, I'm not looking for any pat answer. And anything that you say is valid because it's what works for you. It's what works for you. It's what works for me. It's different things,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Now that you say that, I wonder if anybody else has weird things they do when they were stressed. I remember when I was in high school and I would get stressed. This is a real weird story. But my kind of outlet or the thing that I would do to calm myself down was I would lay on the floor in the kitchen at my grandma's house and there was a big pear tree outside the back door that I could look at and somehow the wind blowing through the leaves at the top of the tree would calm me. I don't know if it made me think about like my grandfather and his, because there are all sorts of different ties
mm-hmm.
to the tree and me. And I just thought about that. I remember being really young and doing that.
Mm-hmm. But it also, you remember that it was very effective.
It was
right?
very calming.
It was calming for you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Have any of you experienced emotions like guilt or fear or bewilderment? Our grief, and I know you have because you just mentioned with your grandmother last February. If you have experienced these, what works for you in this case? And I know you've already answered that. You feel responsible for something or regretting something. You do something and then you have to have time to think about it and you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
you start feeling, what do you do?
I just try to hurry up and make it right. Just try to hurry up and fix it before. Because if I just sit there and think about it for a long time, I'm just going to Just driving crazy. So I'm just go ahead and make it right away.
But what if you can't make it right? I mean, you know, because that's a good pat answer, and I understand what you're saying. But sometimes we're in situations that we can't make right, okay, and that we have to deal with ourselves, okay? And that's what I'm just trying to get, because I'm thinking that you may have techniques that someone listening might think, oh, that might work for me. You know, because it's all about, you know, trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. Now let me try this. Does this work? Yeah, it works okay, but I like doing something else better. So that's why I say that to you. Well, while you're thinking about it, as we look at emotions and stress and in our environment, what role do parents play?
Wait a minute.
I should have started at the beginning. We only have a few minutes left for that.
Let's feel to this, not how to feel.
Yeah. What role do they play?
Oh, my God.
In your...
Can we skip this subject?
You know, I'm going to tell you why. Now, because lots of times, parents are unaware of what they're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, just say the kinds of things that parents might do, okay?
Okay.
That make your life more stressful. And they may not even think they're doing it. They think they might be doing things that they perceive as being helpful. And to you, it's like, oh, this is not helpful. This is just, you know, driving me up the wall. So that's why I'm asking you, for parents who may be listening, for teachers who may be listening, what kinds of things do they do that they may be unaware of?
One thing that I've noticed is I really just works my nerves is when I hate repetitive criticism.
Okay.
I don't mind constructive criticism. I don't mind you saying, well, do it this way this time. And then when I do it that way, you say, well, that was good, but try it with this next time. And I just hate when you just keep saying the same thing over and over and over.
Yes. Oh, my
that
God.
That is a great point. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. So you hate, you know, this continual berating on and on and on and on and on. Because after a while, it's no longer effective.
Yeah.
I mean, it turns you off, mm-hmm. okay? And so then they start to see a different type of behavior where you're like, oh, you know, and then, oh, you aren't paying attention to me?
Yeah, right. I hate that.
Yeah. No. And I all parents do it.
Mm-hmm.
They true. All do it, you know? But it's good to be able to hear that you're saying, hey, you don't have any problem with criticism. You recognize that you may need some input, but to hear it over and over and
she
over.
Has like a really big point with that. It's just like, if you tell me to do something and you see that I'm trying to do better, don't just assume that just because it's not too up to your standards
right.
that I'm not trying as hard, because certain right. people just don't click on to certain stuff, and it's just like,
it just takes you a while.
Yeah, like, if you see that I'm doing all right to where I am, and you see I'm trying, but I'm just not work well.
Not where you
like it's not. Yeah, it's I'm not where you want me.
Right.
Like that's don't raise the bar like so much higher just because you think it's gonna help. It's just gonna make us more stressful.
That's a very good point. That's a good point. Thanks for sharing it, Cheyenne.
Well, my parents, they expect so much out of me because I am the oldest living in the house, the oldest child living in the house, because my oldest sister is off to college and she's about to graduate in December.
All right.
Oh. So, so they expect me to be a role model for my little cousins, my little sibling, and everybody else in my family who may look up to me. And they put so much stress on me saying, oh, I need you to do this for me. I need you to do this. And then they... I'm just like, well, I have nobody to help me with that. You keep giving me all this stuff to do. I need help with certain stuff mm-hmm. to do around the house. Mm-hmm. But you're always busy with work, or you're always at the fire station. Or y'all just get so stressed out yourselves, you sleep. So I don't want to bother y'all so y'all can yell at me. So I just let y'all be asleep. And then when I try, it just doesn't workout.
Come out, right.
She
right.
has a really big point with that, like, expectations. I'm the youngest of, like, 13 siblings. I'm the youngest on both sides of my family. And it's like, since I'm the youngest in the house and just in general, people expect stuff to be easier for me, as in, like, oh, I could just go to anybody and just do whatever. Me being the youngest, okay, if you expect somebody's life to be easier and they're not doing what you think they should be doing or what you want them to do, it's just like we're steady trying to build that up. I've always been compared to my siblings, and that stresses me out like crazy. Like, I'm not them. Don't compare me. It's just that situation. Expectations is just always the biggest one for me.
And that... Do you have more you want? Because expectations, I have heard expectations come up a lot just during this conversation. You know, so what can we do about these expectations? I mean, because it sounds like what is happening is the expectations that you are held to are maybe a bit unreasonable.
Mm. Okay? Sometimes.
I mean, unreasonable and unrealistic.
There's a big age gap in our house.
Okay.
It's definitely an age gap. Age gaps are, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's 6 years between me and my older sister, and there's 7 years between me and my youngest sibling. And by the time my youngest sibling will enter middle school, I'll be starting college. My freshman year in college. So I feel like I can't help him with most stuff I would like to, because it's been so long since I've been there. And Crossroads teach a different way than where I grew up in elementary. Because now that my brother goes to Crossroads, I don't understand any third grade math that they do. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, what is that? So my parents get mad at me when I don't help him with homework and I have to leave them to do it. Well, I don't understand a lot of the stuff they do because we grew up different age groups. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. That's really hard.
Yes.
I also believe that generation, like your parents' generation, your great-grandparents' generation, that has a lot to do with stressed kids, too. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't deal with the same stuff. Exactly. I'm not saying that maybe they're just not seeing... Well, they aren't seeing us the same.
They are.
But it's just like every generation had different things to go through with us. Yeah, we're technology, but... I know they had things such
you
as,
you all
like,
have a
stronger,
lot more pressure.
Yeah.
I know parents might not agree with
like,
me,
for example,
but your worlds are much more pressure.
Yeah, we're faced with things at an earlier age.
Oh, yes.
So right. much earlier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have to expose, the kids are exposed to so much before their time. Like, why you have to give a sixth grade a sixth ed class, you know?
Right. they should teach that in school, though. I think they should start teaching that in school.
They should, but in their day, they didn't have to do that in sixth grade because nobody was thinking about
it's
sex,
a
you know?
That's right.
No, like, some people, they were raised in that you have sex, like, if I found out you're having sex, like, some people feel like they would deny. Like, their parents would deny them.
No, I'm not saying
like,
as an individual. I'm saying as a
No, I'm saying in whole, too. Like, that's why a lot of students and people our age, they don't feel comfortable enough to even ask their parents certain stuff like that. Because it's all about, they see things differently than how we see
And their parents don't feel comfortable telling them because they didn't have to go through it. They weren't thinking about
that's
sex in
point.
The sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any of those talks. So.
Uh-huh.
All right. And some of our teachers like to talk about sex.
Yeah, some teachers,
like,
they...
I feel so uncomfortable. I've had to talk to my parents about that.
Oh,
they have teachers come up to me and be like,
no.
Are you having sex? Well, if you are, please, I don't want to talk about this with you. I'm not
comfortable.
I'm
Miss Cole or Miss Floyd.
No, but it's just, the new teachers that do that. I was like,
Miss
Davis.
Yes.
No names.
No names.
Oh,
never mind.
My bad. Sorry.
No names,
but it's her. Like, I was like, oh, my God.
So does it make you feel stressed when people try to give you advice that you
That's what I was going to say. Does that stress you out?
I think
it depends on what it is, I guess.
I think it does because they think you're lying. They think you're saying, I don't want to talk about it, so I'm just going to cover it up.
Like, some people just
but
are not comfortable with stuff like that.
What I don't understand is you have the right to say, I don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are not obligated to talk about it. You can just say, well, I'd rather not discuss that. I mean, you can say anything to anyone. It's how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, you know, and if you don't want to talk about it, you can tell them in a nice way that, you know, you just don't feel, you appreciate them asking, you appreciate, you know, the interest, but I just don't feel comfortable in talking about it. And the hands on the clock say that we will not be talking anymore today. We are out of time. But I do, yeah, you know, I appreciate you all coming and sharing your thoughts and your opinions and your experiences. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.